Father, we thank you so much for this new promise that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who himself said, no greater love does someone have than to give their life for someone. As we look at the cross, we look at the fact that you have given your life, you have given yourself to us with such sacrifice. And Jesus, you have loved us so well, and we thank you and we praise you. And we had asked God that you would take the love that you are every day sharing with us, your generosity, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your humility, the way that you display through so many things every day, the fact that we wake up and have a new day with new opportunities, that we have food that we can eat, that we have friends that we get to see, that we have work that we can do, that God, you have blessed us, and we thank you for that, and we have experienced that blessing. So God, I pray right now, and I ask you, congregation, as I pray, would you just in your mind allow God to bring to your own consciousness, your own, maybe an image of someone that you know needs love. They are lost and they are broken and they are confused and they are in a time where things are very difficult. It could be an illness. It could be a marriage relationship. It could be a brokenness of a father to a child or a mother to a child or adult children to parents. I don't know. Let the Holy Spirit bring to mind. You have been given the love of Jesus, so that you can be a channel to bless others with that love. And the very fact that you are praying for them, seeing them, or hearing their name, or whatever way God is speaking to you, that prayer that you have for them is powerful. And I would ask, Lord, as a community, that you would with power come in and you would begin to touch the hearts of those we're praying for and lead us, God, each and every day to look for ways where we can die to ourselves and be patient and kind, and we can be good and we can be faithful and we can share that love with others. And God, as a community of people who follow you, you call us to pray for the cities and for the nations and for those who lead in those areas. And I would ask God, because we all know, anyone who has heard anything this week, God, there is so much chaos. There is so much confusion. There is so much pain. There is so much hurt. There is so much evil that is being done. And we're asking by one of these congregations, and I know many are praying, that God, you would lead and you would begin to work in the hearts of people and bring humility to our leadership and all that who are serving in any way. Would their eyes be off themselves? I pray, I don't care if it's the right or left or middle. I pray, God, for our nation, and I pray for the nations and around the world. We want your kingdom to come. We want heaven to come and be a part of this world as you prayed. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth the way it's happening right now in heaven. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you a quick announcement and then I'm going to dismiss kids. But just want you to know there's a worship night coming up on, I had this in my head and it just left me. Here it is, March 21, and I would love for you to look on our website or to talk to someone. Please remain standing because I'm going to leave some people go in a second. And I'm going to ask if you would just think about being a part of that worship night. It's a time for us to come together and to continue this kind of worship before God. Kids, those who are in elementary school, you know you can go up front and you see right up here, Mrs. Bree, and you can follow her and go down there. Pre-K and kindergarten, you need to go with a parent to the back, and that parent needs you to bring that to that room, okay? So pre-K and kindergarten, if you would go with a parent to the back. And you know what? I'm just going to ask you, we're going to do a question at the end of the day, but I just wanted you to turn and just say hi to someone. Would you do that real quick? Yeah, fist bumps. You don't need to touch each other. Okay, all you need to do is say hi. We're going to do a question later and get to know each other better then. So if you could just wrap up your hello. Thank you. So I need to share with you, today is going to be just a brief message from me and there will be a message from you. Okay, I don't know if that makes you nervous or not, but you're going to be sharing and speaking today. On March 2024, about a year ago, we did a survey, a horrendously long survey that no one was happy to take. But you, faithful, loving, kind servants of the Lord, took that survey, and we got the results of that survey through our consultant, Nancy Moore, who came in June at our congregational meeting and shared with all of us where we were at in many different ways in the church. And there's this grid that goes, you know, like a cross, and we used to be about right in here. And she said, "In that was back in 2021, she said, then you can either move below that or you can keep moving up with some energy. When we took it this last time, we were up in this quadrant way up here where it said the church had energy and was thriving and was moving in a very positive way. And she looked at the leadership board and she said, you guys, you will either lose that and move to status quo or you can allow God to use it and begin to do the next thing that he's called you to do. And so we came to the congregation and we said, let's not go right away and do something. Let's in July... we mentioned we're going to begin to start listening to God as a congregation. So through July and August and September, through the first part of October, we took lots of times to come together as a congregation to pray in groups. And we asked throughout that time for people to kind of give their input and to, you know, write down how they sense God leading us. What's the next thing? What is God saying we should do? And we did that till about October, middle of October. And then we brought our staff together and had a retreat and had them work through all that you had said as well as he'd been working through us to kind of capsulize and maybe summarize it into what we sensed God was saying. And then the leadership board took some of that as well as everything else that was being said. And in November, took that together and they crafted it down into here are some of the primary things that God is saying. And then in December, you know what we did? Nothing. So we just did Christmas. Yeah, I set you up for that. And then in January, we came together again, and I have to say, Luke and I kind of spent some time, and I just want to say, I don't know where Luke is, but Luke Broder, our executive pastor, put a lot of work and energy into this, and I'm so grateful for him. We came together with our leadership board and with our staff, and we crafted a vision that we wanted to come and share, which we shared on February 9th of this year, and we handed out, and you saw it, God had led us to a kind of corporate kind of vision with some steps of what to do, and we didn't feel comfortable with that. And then God led us to more of a narrative kind of approach to that, where we came and we shared with you this vision, and we said, pray about it, think about it, because we want to carry this vision not just to others, but to carry it out, so to speak. And so that's what we did on the 9th. And on the 16th, I just thought, you know, with staff and others, we'll just keep going. And I had a message all prepared, and some of you are aware of this, on just a few Sundays ago. And at about 1 in the morning, as I was having one of those wrenching moments, I was ill, and at 2 and at 3 and finally at 4, I just said, okay, God, I give up. I was thinking I could come in here, slide in, give the message, slide out. And God said, no, you're not doing that. So, you know, when you have those experiences, you have about 10 minutes of sanity between, right? And in that, like at 4 o'clock, I'm going, Lord, what do you want to have happen this morning? No one's prepared to speak. And the Lord kind of just, I didn't get a sense that anyone was supposed to speak. All I got was tell Andrea that they should worship and they should respond to the vision that was given out the week before. And it was so amazing. I wrote that little text message to Andrea, what time, 5 in the morning, somewhere in there. And Andrea was so calm. She brought a calmness to the team and brought it to everyone here. And then we opened that up for people to share. And I didn't get to watch it till about 1 in the morning. I'm 1 in the afternoon. I'm kind of trying to watch it on the side. And I was so impressed with the power of God through the sharing and the testimonies. It became really clear to me. God said, I want not just the people to pray and give input and then for you to put it together and to kind of share this vision. I want our people to also give input afterwards to the vision. And I just said, God, isn't there an easier way to do this in the future rather than wiping me out? And he said, no, because it wasn't until 4 in the morning you gave up. So, we as a worship team, along with the leadership board, just gave some thought to it and said, you know what? We're not going to do this systematically, but we should from time to time take time to let God speak through the congregation. And one of the things we thought is today, communion would be one of those opportunities. And so in a few moments, we're going to open the mic up, and it's always scary as a lead pastor to do that, to be honest. So I'll be standing here with a gong. No. So that February 16th, God spoke through you. And that was such an incredible morning. In the morning, this morning, we're going to do more of that. But as I was praying, and there's a number of things I would love to share, but through a series of things that I wish I could take time, it was a real God moment in my life. I found in this little packet I keep in my journal, and the reason I journal, folks, isn't a spiritual thing so much as I'm going to not spiritually thrive unless I do. Just that's it. It's not like some heroic thing. It's just like I need to take mornings to get my, I need like a tune-up every morning. Now, I know some people have, they do it at night. I don't think God, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says what time you're supposed to have time alone with him. It just says make sure you have some consistent time where you can hear the voice of God, slow your heart down, and be able to move into the rhythms of God in your life and in the community around you. Does that make sense? So I'm looking for something, and I find in here, because I don't look at these little papers, I just kind of put them in here, and they're usually prophetic words or things that are said or something that was important to me. And I found a little paper that said, I wrote it out, Kevin's 7 Essentials of a Community. I wrote this like 19 years ago. Okay, I've been here about 17. I wrote it in a time between being in the church where I thought I was done probably being a pastor, and I went into being, I was an executive director of a radio station in a Trinity International South Florida campus, and I thought I probably won't do ministry again, just was disillusioned a bit. And then I did write, I said, you know, if I do this ever again, here's what's going to be the essentials. And I was really surprised when I read this, so I'm going to read it to you. First essential, a community that places a priority on listening to God and teaching others to develop this ear for God. 2, a community whose vision comes from the bottom up, not the top down, where we honor the vision and desires God has placed in others and seek to release their God-given vision and desires. I'm going, this is kind of cool. This has kind of happened. 3, a community that desires to draw together all the believers and churches in the geographic area. And we're seeing that with North Minneapolis. I meet with the pastors this week. We have a ministry that God is doing there this week. A few of us meet with staff. We've been meeting with St. Bart's Catholic Church right here in Wayzata. A community whose goal is to love God and practically love others. caught up more with living in our community and in relationship with those near us than in church programs or in perpetuating services that cause a church to grow big or even a great church. 5, a community committed to the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and built on the foundation of this fivefold ministry. 6, a community committed to Christ-like character, spiritual maturity, that evidences love, joy, peace, and humility. People committed first and foremost to the mission of becoming loving people and not trying to save people. There's nothing wrong with seeing people saved. That's what we're called to do, but we don't do it. We allow God to do it through our love, which could be a verbal witness or could be a practical demonstration of bringing them food. Who knows what God will call you to do? 7, a community committed to the kingdom of God, opening eyes and hearts to the reality of the realm of the Spirit and honoring the Holy Spirit within us and in our midst. And I read that and I thought, man, God, you're doing that. And the one that stood out to me was that I'm going, I think God is beginning to release this. And some may be nervous. And when I say community committed to the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, built on the foundation of the fivefold ministry. And it's really, you shouldn't be, because it just says in Ephesians 4 that in verse 11, it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Because our leadership board, our elders, governing boards need to be in a church family, but there's something about a church that has those ministries. And I'll just explain apostles. I'm not saying there's a 13th apostle among us. There are 12 apostles. And people don't realize that when Jesus used the word apostle, it wasn't a familiar term in the Jewish world in that sense. It was actually a Phoenician Greek term, and the Romans then began to use it. It just meant sent one. So when Jesus called the 12 together, he didn't call them the forefathers of this new covenant and promise that was going to bring to the world the news and truth of Jesus and bring the culture of that kind of life. He called together sent ones, apostles. And in the New Testament, in Acts, you'll find that there are apostles like Paul and Barnabas and Junia. And as the church goes through the first 400 years, there are apostles. They eventually begin to call them missionaries because they are sent into a new area to colonize, to bring a culture of God or heaven in that place. What happened in Rome is what a king would do, or an emperor would do, is he would get a person who would be called the captain or apostle, and that apostle would bring together with him doctors and educators and architects and everything else, and he'd be sent off to a place, and in that place, he would bring this colony together with all these very, these people with these kind of master skills, so that when the emperor would come, he would go to a place and he would experience a place that had the same culture from which he came from. In fact, he would go there and he'd go, I'm no longer in Rome, but it sure feels like Rome. And so really, apostles are just people, I believe today, who go out and they create the culture of heaven, saying, God, we want the Spirit of God to move here, and we want Jesus to show up here in ways that can only you can change your lives. And prophets are ones, they don't speak the Word of God in the same way we think of the Bible as being His only Word. They speak the Word of God in the moment. And an evangelist, oh, do we need evangelists today? And we need teachers. We need pastors. And I believe God is in the process of doing that. So that was my word that I felt like I needed to give so we can be dismissed. Or if God has been speaking to you, I'm going to ask if you would come forward, not be afraid. When we did this last time, people just kind of lined up. We'll take as many as the Lord allows for us until it's time to close. So, Father, would you take our hearts and speak through us, we pray. If there's a word you want said, we want to be open to it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead.
All right. Hi, guys. My name is Gideon. And so recently, my life has kind of been in the process of changing. About 4 months ago, I think, our house burned down, and it's been a crazy switch up. Now, I've been starting to dwell a lot on where I want to go with God, and it's starting to line up, because I wasn't always as in tune with my faith, then kind of all the right things happened, and the negative parts of my life kind of just went away, and I started hanging out with more of my friends here, a lot of the people who work here, and that kind of grew my faith to where it is now. But recently, I've been kind of thinking, where am I going? Where am I now? And this past couple weeks, I've been working on my testimony speech for my speech class, and I started to think and take notes on where I want to be, and I realized that God had given me all these important aspects of my life, the friends I made, the people I looked up to, for a reason, because I realized that I have such a strong desire in my heart to be that kind of guy for someone else. I want to be someone that a young kid, maybe someone youth, can look up to and say, hey, I want to be like that. I want what this guy has, because like that's how my life changed for the better. My hands are shaking. Oh man. So I just I've recently been reading Romans, and I just started, and so I'm not very far, but it's kind of starting to. I've started to realize where I want to go, and I've been having a lot of anxiety about that. And as of, I think, a week and a half ago, as I was finishing making my speech, I started crying. I couldn't stop. It was late at night, and I don't know if that was a contributor, but I couldn't stop. And then by the time I was done, I realized that God has been calling me to be that kind of guy, be someone that someone can look up to as role model, mentor, and a man of God. So, yeah.
I'm going to pray for you. If you would want to just put your hands out if you feel comfortable, just to say, God, we pray blessing on Gideon. Help him to see, not the whole way, but give him the ability to see very clearly the next step and to trust you in it. And that God, you would do as he said, cause him to grow in such fullness of love and maturity and character that those around him would say, I want what he has. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
That we're going to have people share. I immediately heard this verse about how beautiful are the feet. So I look it up, and it's in Romans. So Gideon, if you haven't gotten to this part yet. And it's also in Isaiah. And I just felt prompted to share this with you. How beautiful are the on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, proclaim peace, and who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, and who say to Zion, your God reigns. That's Isaiah 52:7, and then it's repeated in a similar way in Romans 10:15. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And as you're talking about being sent, yes, the preachers are sent, and we are so grateful for them, but I just sense that the Lord is sending all of us. And it's not necessarily to just speak the words, but it's to live the love of the Lord in people's lives. And that's what I hear you sharing your heart for, Gideon, is to share the love of the Lord with others and just the good news that it's available to all of us. So, thank you.
What more do I need to do for you to trust me? Your entire life for 50 years that you've known me, I've protected you. I've watched over you. I've answered your prayers. I've taken care of you. But still, when you go through trials, when battles come, you turn to yourself first before you turn to me. You have been through battles. You've been through plane crashes. You've been through cancer. You've been through all of these things for 50 years that you've followed me. What more must I do? I'm there for you every step of the way. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I love you as my child. And that's what God's been teaching me lately.
So it says your young people will prophesy and your old people will dream dreams. So I had a short dream.
You're not old enough yet, right?
And I like that. Oh. And but it was to music, and it was maybe five words. You will live in love. The you can be singular and plural.
Well, hello. My name is James Lynn. Your pastor mentioned the Catholic Church down the street, so I work there, and we've had just some beautiful conversations. You have such a fantastic pastor with such a beautiful heart. So as I was driving into work today, I just felt the Lord put on my heart to come here.
No idea you were coming.
No. And I was like,
yours.
Yeah, and it was great. I'm like, well, what time do they begin worship? Because I actually got out of the house like 15 to 20 minutes early this morning. And then when we were in worship, I just felt God speaking to me. I'm like, well, that's really interesting. And then turns out there's the time to share. So I just want to share a little bit of what he put on my heart for you, because I felt like, I know, he has such beautiful dreams, plans, and visions for this place. So first of all, just even walking in, the presence of the Lord is so sweet here. And if you just feel like your hope is lifted, like your heart is open when you walk in, it's because he's here. He loves this place, and there's something very beautiful and very special about the anointing here. And what I felt like he was sharing with me in the back in worship was really two things. First of all, I felt him saying that there are saints here, and there's just this beautiful call. Often we think of holiness as what we do, but holiness is being set apart for him, for his purposes. And I felt like there was just this beautiful invitation to this congregation to get swept away by him, to be a people set apart for him, filled with his love, so that you're not determined by the world around you, but that you're determined by him. And that you take him, his perspective, his kingdom into the world around you. And I feel it's very special here too, that this is not a half measure, this is not just a thought, but rather there's a beautiful and there's a unique call to become a people for that. And then the second thing I thought he was saying too is to begin to expand your vision. That he's made you not just to affect a few people, not just to affect your family or your workplaces. He's made you to affect the world around you. He's put, the word that came to me was world changers, that he's put people to begin to shift the culture, to shift everything. And so if you feel like, I don't know what the impact is, or maybe I can have an impact on a couple people, expand your vision, start to pray, start to ask him to expand those tent stakes, because he has beautiful things coming. And so to even just begin to open your hands to receive more of his spirit, just to let him have his way, because you'll never be sad. What he's going to do, it'll knock your socks off. It'll shatter your wildest dreams in such a good way of like, wow, God, I never knew you had all that in store.
So funny.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to do it or whatnot, no, but I feel like just even this beautiful invitation just to open your hands and receive afresh. Okay. We'll just invite each one of you to open your hands like you're receiving a gift. Because I think he wants to pour out in new ways. So Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is your promise. You tell us in the Gospel of John that all who believe will do the works that I do and greater works than these. And you told us to wait until we're clothed in power to go out. So we say, Holy Spirit, come right now.
Yes, Lord Jesus, praise you.
Thank you. God, we thank you. You don't give half measures. And whatever we received in the past, God, we pray that this would be like Acts 4 again.
Yes.
That there's a fresh anointing, that there's new vision, that there's new boldness, that there's new power that comes right now. Father, we pray it would be with signs and wonders flowing, with healings, with prophetic words, with miracles, Lord, that our eyes would not be looking at our earthly kingdom, but that we would be filled with heaven's kingdom. Amen. Yeah, Lord, I pray that healing would flow right now.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And just bless this congregation, bless this pastor, bless all these people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Two more. So here, and then Terry, I'm going to have you share.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Alex. You oftentimes see my wife up here. She's the youth pastor. And sometimes, yeah, Becca. Becca Redmond. But just as he was sharing, word came to me. It's one of my favorite passages. I do have it memorized, but I hate public speaking. So I brought my Bible with me. But it's Hebrews 12:14. And it's make every effort to live at peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And then the next verse as well that follows is, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And as he said, holiness is to be set apart. It's to be different. I worked the mission field. I lived in Japan, did mission work. That was easy. Here is hard. Here is difficult. Our neighbors, we see them every day. They see our worst. They see our best. Maybe not see our best. They see our worst. They see our anger. But that's who Christ has called us to go to. We're here. We live stateside. Go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm a nurse practitioner. My coworkers don't know Jesus. My patients don't know Jesus. What an opportunity to go where Kevin can't. Our job isn't to bring people into the church, this building. Our job is to bring people into the fold of God. And I fully believe that, and I fully love the mission that our church is on. I've been a part of a lot of churches, and they have better, sorry, Kevin, the best sermons I've ever heard, but yet the church was dead. I've been at churches where they have the best worship, and the church is dead. I've seen renowned speakers, but if the Lord isn't moving, that doesn't matter. You can have the most eloquent words, but it's all on deaf ears if the Spirit isn't moving. So that's my hope and prayer and desire for this church. And man, when I came here, 6 years ago, to now, it is so abundantly clear that the Spirit is moving. And I love that. So thank you.
It's so funny. People think I take those things like bad or something. Honestly, part of when I wrote those essential community, there was a part that when I was talking about not big or great, there's a point where I was out trying to build this church that had great influence and all this stuff. And that was, it was in that time where God really spoke to my heart and said, I don't want a Fortune 500 leadership and church with Disney World programs. I want a church full of my Spirit. And are you willing to go through the sacrifice to bring that kind of culture? And dumbly, I said yes. But to the sense that I am so eternally grateful that he would choose to use me and us to do that is incredible. So Terry Esau, if you'd come. Terry writes, he's written jingles for different things and like Harley Davidson camps, Mall of America, et cetera. And I only say this, Terry, because when we had made a decision more than a week ago, that we're going to do this on this Sunday, I'm never real confident about doing these things. You can ask the team. I'm just like, yeah. But I knew we were supposed to. And as I was praying through it Sunday morning last week, you write me and say, well, why don't you go ahead and tell it?
Well, there seems to be a theme here of dreams. So last Sunday, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning having had a weird dream. And by the way, most of my dreams are weird.
Because you're weird.
That probably doesn't surprise anyone. But they're mostly random streams of unconsciousness that's disconnected. So this dream was, I was hired by KTIS to write a theme song for them. And in the dream, I was wrestling with them about the concept, and it wasn't going that well. And then somewhere in the middle of that dream, I realized, I'm not writing a theme song for KTIS, I'm writing it for Westgate. And then in the middle of this, I wake up and I remember the words from the chorus of this thing. And so I got up and I went to my computer at 5:30 in the morning and I wrote down the words for the chorus. And then as I was doing this, I realized, hey, this kind of fits the new theme of community, of what we're trying to do with Westgate and what God wants to do with us. So then I sketched out some verses for it, and I wrote it down, and Kevin asked if I would read this to you. So it says, the chorus is, our house is your house, is God's house. Bring your lonely, your broken, your sinners and saints. There's always a hand to hold, because our house is your house, is God's house. And then the verses, every story, every scar, come with questions, come with doubt. Every burden, every fear, lay them down. You're welcome here. From the ashes to the flame, to the one who knows your name. Hope is rising, faith is strong, in this house where all belong. And then it repeats the chorus, and then another verse is, from the silence to the song, from the darkness to the dawn, every soul has got a place here inside this house of grace. And then the bridge. I ripped off the bridge. The bridge says, everybody's welcome here. Nobody's perfect here. And anything is possible right here, right now. And then again, the verse or the chorus. Our house is your house, is God's house. Bring your lonely or broken, your sinners and saints. No one is left in the cold. The stories are still being told. There's always a hand to hold, because our house is your house, is God's house. And I was thinking that, you know, it's like from some of the stuff that people have been saying here, it's not like, yes, this is God's house, this place, but if the Spirit is in us, we are the temple. We are God's house. So in a way, what I'm trying to say is that we are the mobilized house of God. So we get to go out, just like everybody's been saying here this morning, and we get to go out and be God's house wherever we are. You know, whether it's Tanvir in Pakistan or the Dajewskis in Mobile Hope or in North Minneapolis, or maybe even giving away bikes and guitars. You know, we get to be God's house to the world wherever we are. So, I sent it to Kevin at about 7:30 in the morning last Sunday, just going, hey, I had a weird dream, man. I don't know. In my dream, I was writing a theme song for Westgate, and I guess you can decide if you want it.
No. Yeah, we'll decide that. No, thank you, Terry. So here's what I want to do. He also put music to it. We're going to just play the last clip of it, and you can listen to it, and then Luke will come up and close the service. So any moment that comes up, we'll play the last little clip of it.
'Cause our house is your house, is God's house. House.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Terry. Thank you. So I don't know what you think about all this. I don't know what you're going to do with all of this, but I know one thing, that God is calling us to build a genuine, meaningful community, authentic community here in this house, and to each one of us to share that community with the world around us. We know this is true and that each of us has a role in doing that. I know that some of you might be newer to Westgate, and so you might just be like, whoa, that's a lot going on, okay? Just know that we want to build community with you, all right? And we have a few ways that I wanted to let you know we're going to do that. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and so it kicks off the season of Lent. It's a season of repentance and preparation to truly honor and celebrate Good Friday and Easter that's coming up. And so please join us. Everyone is welcome at that service in the fellowship hall. We'll have a soup dinner at 5:30, and then the service will be in that same room at 6 o'clock. There's no Wednesday programming, so kids and youth, you're welcome to join us for that service as well. If you are a family with a middle schooler, today is your last day to register for AWOL, which is our work of love that happens every single summer, students serving at Mobile Hope in Corcoran. Please take the time. If you don't know exactly what's going on with that, please stop someone, ask your questions today, and then get registered by the end of today, if you would. We have an e-course coming up. I realize I'm going super fast. I'm aware of that. You can find more information about all of this online. But we have an e-course coming up about John Mark Comer's Practicing the Way podcast series. This is a really, really easy way for you to connect with other people around some common themes, as well as to grow spiritually. And so you could join one of these two groups. One starts on Tuesday, March 11th, and the other group will start on Friday, March 14th. We would love to have as many of you join as are interested this Lenten season. And because inquiring minds want to know, I was strongly encouraged to share a picture of baby Benson Broder. He was born February 10th. Baby is healthy and sweet and cuddly, and actually in a really weird way, kind of calm in the midst of the chaos of our 3 and 6-year-olds. So that's beautiful. And Hillary is a champ. She is recovering well, healing well, and we're just... everyone that's asked, I've just been saying blessings upon blessings upon blessings.
the community of this church and the way that you all have wrapped around us in prayer and support means the world. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers and your support and your meals and all of those things. I'm aware that I have a major advantage being one of the guys that gets the microphone up here to be known, and you guys see our family and those things. But if what we experience here is even a taste of what we hope every single one of you experiences here, then just know that it's a really beautiful and really powerful thing. So thank you for all of that. Okay. That was a big service, man. That's one you're going to have to chew on for a while. We're excited for Ash Wednesday, this upcoming Wednesday. Hope to see you then. Hope to see you back next Sunday. If you have time to stop and find someone that also looks like they might have some time, we have a question of the day, which is, what connected with you today? If you want to stop and chat with someone, understand if you need to go see your kids. If you're looking for prayer for anything going on in your life, please stop in that back corner. If you have questions about what's going on here, please grab myself or stop at the Next Step table. We're just very, very grateful. How about you all stand? God, we ask for your continued blessing on each and every one of us. We ask your favor be on our families, be on our friendships, be on our relationships with those inside and outside of this church. And God, we ask that you would continue to lead and guide us each and every moment, each and every day, empowered by the blood of Jesus Christ that we celebrated today. It's in God's name that we pray. Amen. Have an awesome day, everyone.